You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Are you feeling good on that? Vegas!
This is the Rich Eisen Show,
live from Las Vegas, home of Super Bowl 58. Today's guests: Broncos head coach Sean Payton, comedian and actor Sebastian Maniscalco, Super Bowl champions Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman, comedians Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura, 8-time Entertainer of the Year Kenny Chesney, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson, ESPN broadcasting legend Chris Berman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, baby, are you in for a three-hour ride right here on the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku channel from Las Vegas at the TurboTax Studio. We say hello to everybody out there watching here 2 days before Super Bowl 58 and say hello to our Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio listening audience coast to coast. We also say hello to those listening on Sirius XM Odyssey and our podcast, all 3 hours available through the Cumulus Podcast Network. There's a lot of people to say hello to also stopping by our studio here today. When I say buckle up for the next 3 hours, I truly mean it. Sean Payton is going to join us first up in our studio. Super Bowl winning head coach from the New Orleans Saints back in the day, now with the Denver Broncos. He gets up. Sebastian Maniscalco sits down. One of our favorite guests. He's playing to win here this week. We figured let's get a whole bunch of laughs in. So we'll get Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski kicking off hour number two together. They get up, and in those two seats, we turn our show into one cave with two bears. Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura will sit down in those seats, and they'll get up. An 8-time Entertainer of the Year, Kenny Chesney, will join us to wrap up hour number two. And then Greg Olson and the Schwam will wrap it all up. Greg Olson and Chris Berman here on this Super Bowl Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. And Kevin Stefanski, the coach of the year, he won last night. He's about to call into the show, and we will offer him congratulations. I'm going to give you my top five MVP candidates for Super Bowl 58. And then at the end of the show, we've got to make our picks, Chris Brockman. We got to make our picks, TJ Jefferson.
Yes, indeed.
Mike Deal, two for you. Just got to sit there and look pretty.
Okay. I can do that, Rich.
Although, hey, heck of a two-shot on your Instagram feed, brother.
Hey. Thank you, Rich.
What a night for Mike Del Tufo had the honors of the night, apparently, last night.
Hey.
Wherever the heck he was.
Thank you, Rich.
But his party was different than the party me and Chris went to.
Very good. Well, you guys went to the New Heights party,
right?
We did.
Fantastic. We represented.
Well, at any rate, lots to talk about here on our show today, including what we saw at NFL Honors last night. And Lamar Jackson becoming a 2-time MVP.
Yep.
Deserving.
As I predicted.
Not surprising. 49 first-place votes for him. He had 49 first-place votes. The Offensive Player of the Year, I thought it was Christian McCaffrey all year long. And not only did he win it, he showed up for it. Did you see?
I did, and I was pretty surprised. Were you surprised?
I don't know. I mean, they must have, opened up the envelope. And shown that.
Did he get a heads up and like, hey,
you got a hall pass?
Yeah, you want to show up to this? I just remember a couple years ago, Joe Burrow won and was on Zoom, was on remote.
Right. The Walter Payton Man of the Year, when Andrew Whitworth collected it, he showed up in person as well
there
in LA.
Yep, that's true.
This gentleman could not be there in person. He's, I'm assuming, calling in right now from Cleveland, Ohio, or Berea, wherever the. Cleveland Browns head coach, now 2-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski, joining us on the phone here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, coach?
I'm good, Rich. How are you, buddy?
Hey, man. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. As you know, I'm humbled, and you feel great about these things because it reflects so much on the people around you. So it's an opportunity for me to talk about our coaching staff, our players, and really our whole operation in Berea.
Well, I mean, part of the reason why I believe you got this award, Coach, is obviously the number of wins. That's helpful, and making the playoffs, that is also helpful. But the way that you and your staff did somehow navigate five different starting quarterbacks, four of them in games that, you know, were one would say necessary for you to make the playoffs, the last one you were resting your team. How are you able to negotiate the season with so many different changes at the most important position?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great word, navigate, because it felt like that a bunch this season, and taking twists and turns. And, you know, you never know. Preseason, I tell the coaches all the time, we have no idea what's coming at us. There's just going to be something that's coming, and a lot of times it's injuries. And I think back to, you know, week one, we lose Jack Conklin, our starting tackle. Week two, we lose Nick Chubb, you know, our all-world running back. And, you know, what I got from our coaches and from our players is nobody blinked. There were a bunch of problem solvers, and that's what I challenge the coaches week in and week out, is how do we win this game? And when you say that, you're talking about who's available to you that week. And, you know, the different quarterbacks, that was different. And, you know, credit to our coaches and credit to those players, because you have to evolve as an offense when you're going from, you know, Deshaun and some of the things you're doing with Deshaun, and obviously you go to Joe, you're going to change what you do because you're trying to play to the strengths of your players. So that was all credit goes to that coaching staff and the players.
How does one in your position keep the next man up mentality and the competition behind the scenes as intense as it probably needs to be, and keep everyone together? How does one create that environment?
Well, it is so cliche, Rich, next man up. We try to live it by making sure that next man stays ready so they don't have to get ready. We look at everybody as a starter, and we have our coaches, you know, you got to develop the third guy on the depth chart, because number three becomes number one pretty quickly in the NFL. So it's really being intentional about developing our guys, being intentional from our player standpoint of never thinking that they're, you know, hey, I'm a rookie, it's a redshirt season. That really doesn't exist in the NFL. So the mentality in our building is always to stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
And obviously it is helpful to have, say, a defensive player of the year and comeback player of the year on your roster as well. What was your perspective of watching Myles Garrett do what he did this season?
Yeah, I'm a better coach with Myles Garrett on the field, if you can believe it. You
yes.
know, for me, I have the best seat in the house. I get to, when we're on defense, I'm watching Jim Schwartz operate, and then I'm watching Myles go to work. And I've seen it for 4 years up close to see how he is on Sundays, and I know our fans in the NFL world have seen it. I really believe Myles took a step this past season in terms of how hard he works, how he leads this football team, was elected captain by the team, and just to see him go and how he operated. And when we needed a play, he was making a play. You know, we talked earlier about that Indianapolis game. We go to Indy, he's blocking field goals, he's getting safeties. I mean, it was incredible. It was like you don't often see a guy take over a game when they're a defensive player, and he took over games. And I can speak from an offensive coach's perspective. When you're game planning, everything you do is trying to make sure Myles Garrett doesn't wreck the game, and he still wrecked games. And I think that's why he's more than deserving to be Defensive Player of the Year.
Kevin Stefanski, the now two-time NFL Coach of the Year, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, live before the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. What was your conversation with Joe Flacco like when you first picked up the phone and he's looking down and he's trying to figure out what that area code might be on his phone? And And then we saw what happened. What was that conversation like?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind with that conversation, Rich, is Joe is from South Jersey, just outside of Philly. I'm from Philly. Mm-hmm. So when I'm talking to Joe, I'm hearing the Philly accent. And I felt like I was talking to a cousin or a brother or a guy I went to high school with. And then we bring him in, and same idea, just talking to him. He has that Audubon, New Jersey, that accent has not left him. And Joe's a pro's pro, man. You know, when we first signed him, it wasn't a foregone conclusion that he was going to be our starter. He was on our practice squad. And we just felt like we needed depth there. And then sure enough, had some injuries and he's in there. But man, that guy, the way he prepares, the way he is around the building, in the locker room, gives his teammates such great confidence, because there is an air of, I've been there, I've done that, a Super Bowl winner. So it was fun, again, for me to be a part of that and just watch him operate.
And then before I let you go here, Coach, you mentioned how you felt like it sounded like you were talking to a family member when you were talking to Flacco. I know your dad's name is Ed. I don't believe any of your kids are named Steve. Did you get confused when the award was announced for Steven Stefanski on Thursday night? Did that hit
you?
Well,
the truth is, Rich, my cousin Steve had a great night last night. his phone was blowing up, and we called him right away. And his words, he literally picks up the phone and he says to me, "I did it. Hard work pays off."
So wait a minute. You do have a cousin named Steve Stefanski?
That is amazing.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Steve Stefanski and Phil. You know what, Rich? I'll get, if That's you awesome. Want, I could merge Steve onto this call if you want, if we have time.
Oh, you know what? I was told he was not available last night to accept. But that had to talk about a curveball. But, hey, it's all the Stefanskis won last night. You know what I mean? I love it.
That's right. And I won't, whatever show that actor was promoting, I'm not watching it.
you're not available either.
Wow.
Okay. Hey, you stand on principle, Coach. That's why you're a two-time Coach of the Year. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you got to stand for something.
Hey, Ed, congrats again. You deserved it, brother.
I appreciate it, Rich.
Thanks for taking the time to call into this show today. Enjoy it.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
Right back at you. That's the two-time Coach of the Year, Kevin Stefanski, cousin of Steve Stefanski.
A real guy.
Let me just hit this before we get to the top five. Because the conversation is around the Comeback Player of the Year award being awarded to Joe Flacco, and DeMar Hamlin was sitting there in the audience, and he did not win. And the conversation that is surrounding it is, for one way to put it, unfortunate, because Joe Flacco did nothing except try his best, try his hardest, and make the most of an opportunity that nobody thought was coming. I'm sure he didn't think it was coming. I'm sure his wife, who Flacco mentioned in his speech, and I thought that was beautiful when he mentioned how his wife was the one who was holding down the fort while he was, you know, as a pushing 40-year-old with kids in the house, saying, I'm going to go try it one more time with the Cleveland Browns. And then he was so remarkable in his gig, and under the construct of giving the award out, which I always thought was for somebody coming back from an injury, coming back from any health-related problem. Now that we are giving it now 2 years in a row to quarterbacks that are coming back from, in the case of Geno Smith, lack of opportunities, or in this case with Joe Flacco, from the couch, it is a deserving award for Joe Flacco. What an incredible performance he had for Cleveland. But this award, I think, should be for people coming back from an injury or a health-related problem. And DeMar Hamlin came back, just to put it as bluntly as possible, from being dead. How in the world is this not the most remarkable comeback? And I understand he did not have an integral role on the Buffalo Bills defense, but he was on the 53-man roster. So the way through this, and I'm hoping this can still happen, is you name the award after DeMar Hamlin, and in so doing, you still commemorate and celebrate the hard work of the first responders who resuscitated this man and allowed him to come back and play football and still play football. And we saw him because the American Heart Association said it's directly to our right here. We saw him yesterday, and people were saying, you know, hey, great to see you, congratulations, and things of that nature. And he kept saying, my story is not yet written. It is not yet over. And the fact that that is the case is a remarkable comeback for DeMar Hamlin to still continue to mount. So that's the way I think. If you name it after DeMar Hamlin, then I guess you could give it to somebody who's coming back from a lack of opportunity or sitting at home. And I wanted to just say that, because there's so much of this conversation could be construed as what Joe Flacco did wasn't worthy of an award, wasn't worthy of recognition. It is. I just don't understand when we pivoted to give the Comeback Player of the Year award to people who are not coming back from a season that was marred due to injury, or in the case of DeMar Hamlin, a season that ended with him being resuscitated on a football field. My two cents on that subject matter. Before Sean Payton comes, let's turn to the subject of Super Bowl 58 one time before we start turning to our attention to all of our guests. It's time for the top five big game MVP candidates presented by BMW. Hit it.
Top five. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Rich's top five.
All right. This is kind of a simple list. I'll be straight up with you here.
Yeah.
Number five on this list is a guy who can run it. He can catch it. And heaven forbid this guy actually throws a touchdown pass. It once got Hines Ward an MVP in the Super Bowl. How about Deebo Samuel being number five on this list for the San Francisco 49ers, the jack of all trades? Deebo can do it all, and if he does it all on Sunday afternoon here in Vegas and early evening, he might take home the hardware for the San Francisco 49ers and himself as the MVP of the big game. Number four on the list is a guy who was targeted 11 times in the AFC Championship game and caught all 11 footballs. And let's just say Mahomes doesn't complete many other passes to many other people. And it's Kelce, the only one who scores touchdowns in this game. And he somehow, some way, does it again. Travis Kelce could be the MVP of Super Bowl 58 just as easily as anybody else who catches passes on that field on Sunday. Number three on this list is the offensive player of the year. Could Christian McCaffrey have a multiple touchdown game himself? And also, not just on the ground, but in the air. Could he be the guy who takes the 49ers offense under his supervision and takes the 49ers to the podium and then himself getting the MVP award? Number two on my top five big game MVP candidates presented by BMW. Got to go quarterbacks here.
Have to.
And you got to go Brock Purdy, number two overall. The Brock star has had games this year with passer ratings of north of 140, and he's had multiple passing touchdown games with no mistakes, and if he can run it too, Brock Purdy can easily be the MVP of the big game. And number one, we all know, is a man in whose world we're all paying rent, Patrick Mahomes, number one on the list. He's already won this award twice. Can he make it 3 for 3 in Super Bowl victories?
That would be amazing.
And MVP awards in those victories. And that's my top five list right here. Hit it, Mike. Go ahead. We'll get one more. Here we go. If it is defense, you know, this has happened in the past. We've had defensive. Malcolm Smith, I believe, is the last defensive player to win the MVP award of the Super Bowl.
Von Miller, I think.
Von Miller. Oh, that's right.
Then
Super Bowl 50.
After, right?
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Thank you. So it's been a while. It's been 8 years since that's happened. So I'll give you one from each team. So I'll give you one more, but two names, just to keep you all straight on this. I will go, if it's the 49ers, I'm going to go Fred Warner is a guy who might shut things down. A tip ball might wind up in the hands of this unanimous all-pro linebacker. He is the heartbeat in the middle, and might it be also fitting that he would win the MVP in a week in which Patrick Willis is named to the Pro Football Hall of Fame from the San Francisco 49ers? And if it's the Kansas City Chiefs, I almost went L'Jarius Sneed. Maybe he picks a couple off from Brock Purdy, but I'll go Chris Jones. I'll say the guy who shoved Deion Dawkins into the foot space of Josh Allen, saving the Chiefs from losing the lead potentially late in the AFC divisional round. I'll say Chris Jones would be my candidate for being a defensive MVP for Super Bowl 58. And that was the top five big game MVP candidates presented by BMW. The all-new BMW 5 Series is the real deal, folks. Know who else is the real deal? Christopher Walken. BMW is challenging you to show off your best walkin' impression with the hashtag Talkin' Like Walkin' challenge on TikTok. Join in on the fun this week and keep an eye out for BMW during the big game Sunday. And I believe that ultimate driving machine needs more cowbell, if I may say so.
Well done, Ray.
Bruce Dickinson. Puts his pants on one leg at a time.
The Bruce Dickinson.
The Bruce Dickinson. And the coach of the Denver Broncos, Sean Payton, is going to kick off our 100% fantastic guest list here on the Friday before the Super Bowl, live on the Rich Eisen Show.
Mm-hmm.
On the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, co-host David Green and Rob Abasolo interview real estate investors and entrepreneurs about successes, failures, and hard-earned lessons. Joined by author Dave Meyer.
Who wrote a book?
I did write a book.
It seems like you're coming out with a book every 4 minutes.
You're one to talk. You've released 2 books this year. I've done half as many as you.
It is more about strategy than it is about just finding whatever the new buzzword happens to be.
Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning. Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather. Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
In New York, I'm Sue Aller.
I'm Charles Dillatesma.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
I'm Jennifer King.
I'm Clayton Neville.
I'm Kevin Carr.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Tomorrow back night. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, look who's here, is the head coach of the Denver Broncos and a Super Bowl champ head coach from his days in New Orleans, courtesy of Zebra Technologies. Sean Payton is here. Good to see you, brother.
Good seeing you. I'm excited. Every year we do this, the set gets better.
Thanks,
and
man.
And I'm looking up here. It's yeah. Sebastian Maniscalco, and yeah. He's from Arlington Heights, Illinois. I'm from Naperville.
So you're neighbors, right?
Kinda.
Okay.
Yeah,
Naperville.
Kinda.
And did you just say that you're seeing him?
Saturday night, I'm seeing him. And so, but I just finished paying full price.
Gosh, if I had known.
Taxes the whole nine. Just went on StubHub.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so, here it is anyway.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's going to come out shortly. You're going to be
able
to
hear him before we see
him. You're going to see, yeah, you could. And then you could say to him, hey. If I return these, can I get?
Yeah, something.
It'll be
kind of cool.
He's so funny,
right?
He is so.
He's
brilliant.
Absolutely. I mean,
and that's what I love about the Super Bowl here in Vegas. You can see a show, you can get a dinner, and by the way, the reservations are not insane to get.
This will be on the regular rotation.
Yeah,
right.
I think so.
This will be right there with Miami, New Orleans. Some of those other cities you'll say, hey. Because, honestly, there's some cities this game goes to and you're like, what are we doing here? But this is one of them that this will be a rotational city.
Yeah, there's no question this is not one of those cities saying, what are we doing here? Or what you're saying instead is, how the hell did we get here? I never thought we'd be here.
How did this happen?
Which is said a lot in Las Vegas, by the way, for a lot of people. I got Sean Payton here on our Roku channel show. We're about to be rejoined by our radio audience. Then Sebastian Maniscalco. Who else are you seeing? Anybody else? Are you going to see Kreischer and Segura? Because
no,
they're coming up, too.
Just Sebastian. That's it.
Okay, fantastic.
Just him.
Sean Payton is here. I'm back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by as the head coach of the Denver Broncos, courtesy of Zebra Technologies, Super Bowl winner himself, Sean Payton. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you here.
It's great being here.
Thanks, pal.
It's exciting.
It is. You could actually feel the energy in this town right now.
I think
now,
so. I think, and the interesting thing is, the week leading up to this game, mm-hmm. Network will run the feed starting with Super Bowl I, mm-hmm. 2, 3, and those games just run over and over. And the thing I remember the year we were playing in this game, the week prior, being in Miami, you get to your room and it's it's quiet.
Yeah.
It just put. And you'd be like turning into what would be the Rams versus the Titans or whatever game was on.
Yeah.
And you recognized the significance of that one game and result, that it would always be the same. And so these guys just played not too long ago in this game. And here we are back watching them. You're jealous. That's the true feeling. You don't want to stay for the game. You go home and watch it. But you do come away, that much more motivated to chase this thing again.
What made you go on sides Super Bowl 44 to kick off that second half, Sean?
Parcells had a big impact on my career.
Hell yeah.
And it really was more of a fake punt idea that you got to steal a possession. Manning was playing really well. Their offense was playing really well. And he had done that in a championship game against Montana in Candlestick. The Giants were a heavy underdog. That's the year they had Hostetler. Sims was hurt. and they upset the 49ers in San Fran, and then they upset the Bills wide right. And he had just talked about stealing a possession. And, so, I mean, that's how that initial thought began. The bye week, you know, you have your bonus week. Our special teams coaches, Greg McMahon, and that whole group came to me like there's too many looks with the punt fake.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got this other idea, and so it was that whole onside kick idea. Morstead was a rookie. And the biggest mistake I made in that game, it's a half an hour, 35-minute halftime, and I had told Thomas we were going to do that like 4 minutes into halftime.
So that's when you decided we're going to do this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we were kicking off, and the momentum really was all in the Colts' favor in the first half.
Yeah.
And so the Who was playing. I can remember, you know, you're hearing the music. But I told him too early. He had to sit on that. Like, he had to sit on that for 30 minutes.
And damn.
That was.
But you had to sit on it, too, for 30 minutes,
but I didn't
right?
have to kick it. He did.
No, I understand that. But did you, in the 30 minutes, think
what we did
about pulling that
what
back,
we did
or?
Was no
okay.
I told the defense be ready, you might have a short field.
Okay.
And when you really look at this for a second, like, Peyton was rolling, right?
Yeah.
And so let's say the recovery area is the 40. I mean, that's two completed passes by him. Mm-hmm. With a normal kickoff, and then we put together, it's the one game where you come out of your pads. You know, normally you have 8 minutes. In this game, you have 30.
Yeah.
You come out of your pads. You get dry shirts on. The players do. There's food. There's, you know, it's a long halftime. And we actually put in another 8 plays to open the second half. And we put those starters, those plays in,
mm-hmm.
on the left hash first, 40-yard line, with the idea we're recovering. Play one is this, play two is this, play three is this, play four is this, and I believe play five,
mm-hmm.
we score on the screen to Pierre and went right in order.
Wow.
And it doesn't happen that way that often.
No, it doesn't.
But it got back to Bill's feeling and look, how do we change the momentum? I think there was like an hour and 10 minutes took place between the last time Peyton had a snap. We had the ball to finish the second quarter. All right. We recover. We go down and score. And by the time he took another snap, I think an hour had gone by.
Damn. Is it entirely possible that when you made this decision, Sean Payton, hearing the Who, that the song was We Won't Get Fooled Again when you came up with this? Is that possible?
I want to say it was Pinball Wizard.
I love it. Sean Payton here on the Rich Eisen Show. And when I saw the Chiefs and called the game in Germany against Miami, they were pissed because they had just lost to you. And they are not used to losing in division. And they were pissed. They were talking about how practices were rough and they were just ornery because you took care of business against them. What were you able to affect that you think the Niners – can mimic in any way,
look,
shape, or
I think
form?
It's a good question. The uniqueness of that game,
mm-hmm.
was, you know, every once in a while you use analytics. And so when teams go on the road prior to Europe, so it doesn't happen a lot. A lot of times you have a home game before you go to Europe. But on the road before London, on the road before Germany, that record – prior to the road trip is like 2-14. And why is that? Well, you're going on the road and then you're going right from there to the travel of the next game,
yeah.
takes precedent, and the restaurant we're going to be in London, can we, the distractions, we're going on the road and then we're going to Europe. And I remember talking to our players about, look, here's what the numbers suggest. It's a tough game to play in. And I was a part of that. You know, we went to Carolina before we'd always go play in London, and we lost in Carolina. And so now I want you to flash forward to where they're at now. I think we're seeing a team in Kansas City that's really hot. I think one of the more understated strengths of this postseason has been their defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're playing really good defense. And just think of their journey. They have the Miami game, obviously the cold weather game. On the road to play a real good Buffalo team and a win. On the road to play arguably one of the best teams in our league, Baltimore, and get a win. And on the other side of this, we're seeing a 49er team that's not playing their best right now. I mean,
sure. You can make that case easily.
They at some point in the year were, but beat Green Bay, come back and show enough grit and beat Detroit. So I think from Kyle's perspective, you know, he'll play on that. Like, hey, you know, this is what it looked like. We got to be better than that. We got our best football ahead of us. But I think in Kansas City's case, I think Spags has done a great job. I think defensively they've been – a lot was made of what Baltimore didn't do offensively. But if you really paid close attention to that game, the time of possession – I mean, they couldn't get Kansas City's offense off the field.
Right.
That first drive. And so when you have a time of possession tilt that's significant, you're not going to have the rushing attempts. You're not going to have the first downs. And I think you're getting a hot team right now.
So you think Kansas City will take this?
Look, my coaching points when I came on these shows this morning was that you cannot
don't
recommend a game or any of that. And then certainly they're a division opponent.
Yeah, right.
And so, but I do think you're seeing a hot team, and then you're seeing a team. Obviously, the people that do it for a living,
yeah,
the Vegas bookman, you know,
yeah,
they kind of see this in a much different way, and that's they're the experts.
Sean Payton here, courtesy of Zebra Technologies. Before we get to that dot that you put on the desk right here, what is your plan at quarterback for 2024?
Great question.
Thank you.
You know what's interesting is, so already there's stories of us trading up, trading down, drafting this, drafting that. Our first scouting meetings, we call it the front board meetings, they begin Monday.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you the jersey number of any of these college players. And so anything that's been written relative to that process begins for us Monday. There's a puzzle. The board flips for all of us. We flip it back. Mm-hmm. All the pieces are scrambled around. Quarterback's one of them. We have our musts, our needs, and our wants. Can we find that in free agency? Can we find it in the draft? We pick 12th, or is it in the building? Mm-hmm. And I think that includes Russ. That discussion has to include Russ. And I think there's this presumption that he's not going to be part of the plan, and I recognize why that exists. And yet, as we look closely, because – here's the thing we got to be careful about. If you just jump on the NFL train, then you're like, well, there's six quarterbacks. Take one of them. You know, take Joey Harrington, not Julius Peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? John Fox, Ernie Accorsi. You got to take Harrington. No, you don't. And this idea that the NFL bus tells us here are the guys, when you and I and all of us know there's only going to be one or two of those guys that we hit on.
Yeah.
So do we love one in the draft? I can't tell you that because we haven't seen him yet. Is there someone to hold the fort currently in our league, or possibly a young player in our league that maybe is waiting to excel and in the right situation? We've seen that happen, right? Mm-hmm. Get the right fit. I mean, Baker Mayfield this year had a great season. So, and then also Russell Wilson, Jared Stidham, players that are on our team right now. That puzzle, like, we just flipped the board, and I think it's our job to really look closely at it and listen to the train, but not get on that train.
Well, the train's already left the station because you sat Russ, you know, to end the season. And that indicates where you're going.
Well, correct. But he and I have a great relationship, and he wants to be back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means something. But we'll see.
Sean Payton here on the Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of Zebra. What is this? I know what this is.
Look, we've done this 10 years now. This is the year 10 for Zebra. Next Gen mm-hmm. Stats came into our league 10 years ago. Miles per hour. Tyreek Hill, 22.
Mm-hmm.
All the information that we're gathering now really starts with this little chip that's put in the shoulder pads.
It's not on top of the shoulder, right?
It's like right
here.
Dug in.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And there's two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to outline the field right? Mm-hmm. You have to put a, just like you would in your backyard if you had a dog with an invisible, you have to have a field.
Sure.
And then when this enters the field, we get the data.
What do you do with that? Do you really?
Well, I mean, for me, it was injury. It still is soft tissue.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to back off practice today. What does that mean? But receivers are 6.5 miles of practice generally. And then I've got Brandon Cooks is at 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whoa, why is he overtraining? And so we get a little bit more specific relative to their distance traveled, how fast they're traveling, and in trying to reduce soft tissue injuries. It's in the ball, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
when are we going to use that to see if there's a touchdown or a first down?
I'm only
down.
Here to just tell you it's in the ball. I'm okay. Not here to.
Well, okay. Did I mean to overstep?
But I'm going to say this. Before we even talk about the ball crossing the goal line, yes. I always like the punt that's in the air high that goes out of bounds.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the official just raises his hand.
No, he keeps walking until I say, that's about right.
It always looks like the yodeler from Price is Right going up that cliff.
100% it does.
I want to hear the yodeling. As
he says, that's about right. And if he happens to have to yawn or cough, we're going to lose 6 yards. If something happens to him where he just can't, we're just going to lose 6 yards.
Right. Oh, my gosh. And so that is
Target.
Zebra technology.
Yeah, it's the barcode.
I love it.
We go into the store, we swipe something, that's Zebra.
You're the man, Sean. Thanks for coming on.
Great to be on.
Really appreciate it. That is the head coach of the Denver Broncos, and he's wearing his Super Bowl ring on his left hand right there.
It's the only weekend.
Look at that. What, isn't that a little honey?
They put it on the sphere. That's pretty cool.
Right?
All the rings are on that, and it's really unbelievable.
As your mentor would say, that's why we lift all them weights right there.
That's exactly
And look
right.
Who's coming out here. The guy you're seeing on Saturday night, Sean Payton. Sebastian Maniscalco has just arrived.
Wake up, people.
He is next right here live in Las Vegas on the Roku channel and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Back here on the Roku channel, radio rejoins in 2 minutes. First of two times I say hello to one of my favorites, Sebastian Maniscalco. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see everybody here, guys. I got to tell you, and this is a compliment to the whole crew, the staff, any show that has a jib cam is worth doing. I mean, this thing's flying around. You don't get this over on Radio Row over there. You don't get no room.
I'm a jib man. Have jib, we'll travel, man. Look at that beautiful shot right there. This movement.
I'm telling you.
We're swooping.
This alone is worth it.
Yeah. Richie likes the cut of your jib.
Look at you.
Hey.
Wow. Oh, what a wordsmith.
You know.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be here. This is, if it's up to me, if I'm working for the NFL, we have the Super Bowl in Las Vegas and L.A., and we just alternate each year.
Just drive through the high desert every year?
That's it.
That's it. I'm with you.
Right. I just got here, yesterday, having a ball, and this is the perfect place for a Super Bowl.
I agree. The draft, it's where I saw your show at the draft a couple of years ago. It's unbelievable. I'm part of the draft Friday night. We're done. I go see you. Then the next night I have a nice meal.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you get everything. Food, entertainment.
Yeah.
Now we got football. We got sports. We got the baseball team coming in.
That's right.
So
and hockey. Don't forget the hockey.
We got hockey.
You got it all working.
The only thing we're missing is what? Basketball? We need a basketball team in Las Vegas.
Can we get one? What do you think?
LeBron's going to make that happen,
yeah.
I think it's happening.
And LeBron will be what? He'll own it?
I think LeBron's going to be the owner.
Seems like that's part
of
the deal.
Yeah. That'll be great.
Now, you just had Sean Payton on, and I wanted to address this question to the group.
Okay.
What age is too old to be wearing Jordans? This is the reason I ask.
Sebastian Maniscalco is here, everybody.
No, I have. Well, you have Jordans on?
Do you have Jordans on?
Does everybody have Jordans on?
No.
Okay.
I have Hokas because I'm old. I got Hokas. I'm old.
Well, you got Hokas. Yeah, you got the senior citizen Jordan.
Exactly.
Hokas and Ons, right?
Yep.
65 and over.
Just slip your feet into them.
I'm not saying you're 65. Oh, okay. I'm just saying maybe you're a little early on it. But I have a pair of Jordans.
Yes.
And I don't know if I could pull them off just because of the age. You know? But we saw it. Put it back on.
We're good. So what are your... They look good.
No, these aren't Jordan. These are just normal sneakers. Okay. I'm just saying the Jordan shoe in general.
Yeah.
I'm 50.
What do you think is the cutoff? What would you do?
I'm going to say after 40...
That's it.
I think we retired the Jordan.
Sean Payton is 60.
He's 60.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he looked bad in them.
Right.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying age appropriate.
I feel attacked.
We feel that way, and I know we're kind of, you know, treading on a very thin line here, that you can't wear a jersey of somebody younger than you. You know, like if I go to a game, I'd have to, if I wore a jersey, I'd have to put on like a Namath. You know what I mean? Instead of a Sauce Gardner.
Well.
Like that's the sort of, you know, line, right? Fail safe line there, you know?
I like where your head's at.
Okay.
However, yeah. I don't wear any colors associated with the team because I don't want to get killed. I feel,
yes. Right?
If you go to any game and you're walking to your parking lot and you have a jersey on, you could possibly be in a wheelchair the rest of your life.
So self-preservation.
Yeah, that's
don't
right.
Wear the jersey.
All like I generally dress like I'm going to a funeral.
Well, that looks like this could be a Raiders gear.
It could be.
As well.
It could be. I actually thought about that when I looked down and I saw that I had the full Raider paraphernalia on. Although I don't think anybody screws with Raider fans.
No.
They do not mess with that.
No.
I agree with you. But the whole thing is definitely a Raider look that you got going on. So you got two shows tonight, two tomorrow. Sean Payton says he's coming to see you tomorrow.
Sean Payton is coming. I just found out he's from the northwest suburbs of Chicago, which I had no idea, which is always nice to run into somebody from my hometown. So he's coming with his wife to the show. Got a lot of football players coming.
Who's coming?
Eli Manning's coming.
Okay.
J.J. Watt will be there.
Okay.
I think the Jets, someone from the Jets is coming. It's slipping my mind.
Do you get like a list of who's coming?
I get a call and then go a bunch of free tickets, you know. Everybody's looking for tickets. So I'm handing out tickets to my show if anybody wants to come.
No, I know that like Rickles always liked having a list of the people who are luminaries in his audience that he'd give a shout out to, or he just wanted to know. I just didn't know if that's a thing.
You know, I don't know how people feel about that. Like, let's say if you're in the audience.
Yeah.
And I called you out.
Yeah.
You know, Rich is here tonight.
I would be thrilled, by the way.
Would you give a wave or would you go, this is embarrassing?
Question. No, I mean.
Do you stand up? Do you stand up out of your seat and give a bow?
Yes.
Part of me says yes, you know? Part of me says yes. That they were, but that is potentially overstepping. I mean, you're the attraction, you know? I mean, if you call me out, just give one of these, like, turn around.
That's
you
a good
obviously
move.
Put
I like
me up
the
front.
Move. I like the half get you know? Up.
It's the half. Oh, I wouldn't stint. Yeah, I would go half. You know, just a little bit of a raise.
Yeah.
You know, it does take some thigh work. You know, you tighten the core and you get up and you just turn. You know?
I might do that. I actually might do that this week and maybe call a few people out. I generally don't just because I don't want to draw attention to the person in the audience.
Okay.
And then when they leave, everybody might swarm them.
Plus, you might be leaving someone out. I thought that's where you were going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That
you need a full comprehensive list. You know what I mean? Because you don't want any blowback.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'd have to bring up a notepad to see who's in the audience.
He did. I swear to God, I saw Rickles in New Orleans once, and he took out a list of names.
Wow.
Yeah. And for some reason, this was years ago, my name was put on it. And he called me Rick.
Oh, God.
Eisner. And a piece of me died. You know what little piece of me died.
Wow,
I'm like, wow, he's giving me a shout out, and he blew the name. And I thought to myself, is this part of the Mr. Warm fact? I don't know. And he just moved on.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Wow. So no half raise on that?
No, just
sunk into the seat?
The want to get away moment? Yeah. That actually happened. Fantastic. I've got Sebastian Maniscalco here on the Rich Eisen Show. The It Ain't Right Tour starts in July. four shows at Madison Square Garden. You stayed at a fifth, sold out.
Woo. Yeah, awesome, Madison Square Garden seems to be a hot room for me.
Yeah.
So every Italian in the tri-state area will be in New York City sometime between September, I think, 20th and the 23rd. So, when I hear that, it's like, wow, I never even dreamed of that happening.
Right.
But it's nice. I'm flattered that the people in New York City like what I do.
SebastianLive.com for dates and tickets for more. Bookie is a fantastic show.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations on that. Yeah, we had Nick Bakay on the show because I know him back from my SportsCenter days way back in the day, and he's the showrunner. And what do you like about doing that? Looks like it's fun, Sebastian.
It's fun. I got to tell you, this is the most fun I've ever had doing any TV or film.
Yeah.
Chuck Lorre, who's, you know, the king of television and a hit maker, knows what he's doing when it comes to TV. I like it if films in Los Angeles, where I live.
Yeah.
So you get to bounce around. Like, we did a scene in El Coyote Restaurant, which is a Mexican restaurant. I think it's on 3rd or Beverly or Santa Monica, maybe. And I remember 1998 when I moved to L.A. going there for burrito and chips and salsa. And now, next thing you know, I'm filming a scene there. So it's been like a really cool experience. And we got picked up for a second season.
Yeah.
So that starts April 2nd.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
congratulations on that.
And I know nothing about gambling. I know, you know, I don't know the nuances of, you know, sports betting and what have you. So I had to learn a little bit. Nick, he'll tell you, he's very familiar with gambling.
He's got problems.
So
it's a good thing you're not familiar with it. Certainly if you're coming to Vegas a lot, too, you know, I mean.
You can't win. The only way you walk out of money in a casino is you got to work there. That's it. And that's the route I've taken.
That's the truth.
A hard-earned living, for sure. And then if I told you you were going to do a show with Chuck Lorre and then Charlie Sheen would be doing a scene, you'd have been like, get out of here, right? What was he like?
You know, I get that question. What was he like? He didn't come on, you know, with tiger blood and, you know, winning. He was extremely professional, just very gracious.
Yeah.
Quiet, actually. Very, very quiet to himself. He came on two episodes, had a great time working with him. And I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be in the second season.
That'd be good.
But I'd like to see him. So, it was a pleasurable experience.
And you got two, and I will say the same thing about being on one of your pods. That was a blast.
Coming
in there with Daddy versus Doctor, Man of Scout, you and Dr. Scott Cohen, and then the Pete and Sebastian show as well. That's a comedy pod. You got a nice setup in your spot, Matt.
Yeah, thanks. We're doing the podcast thing. Obviously not making a dime doing it, it's a passion project for us.
It's your hobby?
It's my hobby. Some people build some people like, model airplanes.
Yeah.
I do podcasting for nothing.
For free.
It's great.
For the arm.
Oh, my gosh. You got a prediction for the game? You got anything on that front?
Here's my take on the game.
Yes.
I love San Francisco. Always have. They're my second favorite team besides the Chicago Bears. Grew up on Montana, Rice, Lot. Like what they're doing now. I like this Samuels.
Mm-hmm.
I like Bosa.
Yeah.
And the white running back.
McCaffrey.
Yeah. Great. Generally speaking, you don't see a white running back in the league, and this guy's killing it. And you know who I like on Chiefs? And I don't know how to pronounce his name. It's like Pacquiao or
Pacheco.
Pacheco. That guy, I think he's my new favorite player. That guy runs so hard, gets hit, goes up. You know what he reminds me of? He reminds me a little bit of Peyton in the sense that he springs right back up and runs back to the huddle.
Yeah.
That being said, I think Kansas City is going to win 34-21. I do not like Kansas City. They're one of these teams that is too good. And this Mahomes, I know he's phenomenal, but they're just too good. You like kind of love to hate them.
You know, Pacheco's from he went to Rutgers.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so he's a Jersey guy.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he went to Rutgers, 7th-round pick, and he's been killing it.
See, that's what I like about these other teams, like the Chiefs.
The Bears don't find these guys. You know, you never hear they got the guy in the seventh round and he's leading the league in.
Yeah, right? Right.
I don't know what's going on with the Bears. People ask me, what do you think who they should take? It don't matter. Don't matter who they take, because Justin Fields, he'll probably leave and go win a Super Bowl somewhere. So if you go to the Bears organization, you're doomed.
Sebastian, I just think maybe one day you'll come to a Super Bowl here in Vegas and see the Bears name printed in the end zone.
I'm hoping. You know? I'm hoping. My dad and I are huge Bears fans,
yeah.
But really nothing to cheer about in the last, since what, 85? We had 07, I think we went to the Super Bowl, played Colts.
That's it.
But other than that, we're dry.
Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night right here in Vegas at the Wynn Encore Theater. Additional shows coming up in March and May. Starting in July, the nationwide It Ain't Right tour. Go get your tickets for that fifth show in Madison Square Garden because the first four are sold out. SebastianLive.com. Renewed for season two. Bookie will return to Max where you can watch season one. Daddy versus Doctor, the Pete and Sebastian show. My God, the last 20 seconds with reading your credits. You're fantastic, brother.
That is a nice, nice outro. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, here's the things you'll always get with me. Jib, okay? And great outros, man. I specialize in the jib and outros.
Can we get a flying jib outro, possibly? How close could he get the jib to me? Can we bring that could we swoop it in?
We're swooping.
Or is that as far as it goes?
Does this feel like a Scorsese move
this
for you? You've been on a business end of Scorsese moves.
This is taking me back to the scene in Irishman where I get shot outside where we have the jib.
Is that right? Last time you were in a jib, it didn't work out for your character.
No, I passed away.
Okay, so here we go. There's the jib move. Do you like the jib in or out? What's your favorite jib?
I don't even know if you could do this on this jib, if it's capable or if we brought the mechanism, but I like it when it comes in fast. Can we get, almost right up to me? It's almost like a Scorsese fast
jib. Like a rack focus situation.
Oh, yeah, look at this. Look at
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my
Fun God. With jibs.
I'm telling you, you should use this thing more often.
Yeah, we'll fit it in every single time. All right, Sebastian Maniscalco is here. Julian Edelman and then Rob Gronkowski. They're probably right. Are they here yet? They're right. They're coming up next. And then Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura and Kenny Chesney. You're the best, brother.
Thanks
for coming.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Sebastian Maniscalco, everybody. Hour one in the books.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
And here's Lil Yachty with Tierra Whack.
I've never been to a fashion show. I never did any Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, and I'll tell you why. Because I would always go to events, and people would say to me, "Oh man, Yachty, man, I love your music, bro." And she'd be like, "What song?" At the time, I didn't love my music. I would feel like I'm in a room with all these artists, and they all respect each other, and I feel like no one respects me.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.